Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Addressing the recruiting crisis, the retention crisis, and readiness crisis in our ranks.
Members of the security force will remove members.
Oh, watch out, Joe.
Joe Concha, Fox News contributor.
Well, I mean, are you even really succeeding if protesters don't show up to your confirmation hearings? Joe Concha joins us once again, Fox News contributor, author of a book coming out soon, The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign, which is coming out in April. Joe, welcome back to the show. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Annie. I guess we can still say that because we haven't spoken since New Year. So if you see somebody for the first time, you could say Happy New Year up until the 15th, I believe, is Rule 28B.
Right? we snuck it in just in time, didn't we?
By a day.
What's it like watching your, obviously your colleague there at Fox News, former colleague, I suppose, sit in front of this panel of senators, and it's so jarring. Republican, Democrat. How do you think he's doing so far?
I think he's crushing it, quite frankly, Annie. And look, I may be a touch biased in this regard because I appeared on and still appear on Fox and Friends Weekend on a regular basis. I've gotten to know Pete well, his wife Jen, I've known for years. I used to work for, believe it or not, when I was a writer at Fox, and she was my executive producer. And I could just go down the line as far as, like, you know, my kids have met his kids, and I'll just leave it there. All that said, let's say I didn't know Pete Hegseth. I would see this questioning from the Democratic side as being the theater of the absurd. I mean, it's just so cheesy, the performance art we're seeing from these senators involved. I mean, it's constant interrupting. He can't get through three letters or words of an answer without being interrupted and yelled at in the most condescending way. And Tim Kaine, by the way, basically said that Pete isn't qualified to run defense because, oh, he's been divorced. Yeah, you are Hillary Clinton's running mate. Please, take two seats, Tim. Tammy Duckworth, you know, she evoked Donald Trump's bankruptcies from decades ago to argue that Trump isn't qualified to be the commander-in-chief. But Mazie Hirono, and then later it was Senator Kelly, they accused Pete of repeatedly being drunk while on the air on Fox, and they based it on these garbage stories based on anonymous sources. Here's what I know. The only people who have gone on the record about Pete's behavior at Fox News have had nothing but positive things to say about him, including Will Kane,
right,
Rachel Campos Duffy, right, his co-host, including myself. Pete works hard. He's always professional, friendly, respectful. And by the way, you host a show. Your show goes on for 3 hours, right?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. Imagine doing 4 hours of TV from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. and trying to do that drunk and no one noticing who's watching. It is so ridiculous that's an accusation that's out there. So, as usual, Democrats are overplaying their hand. Not one Republican senator has said publicly they'll vote against Pete, meaning he probably has 53 votes, even if they lose one, perhaps 52. No problem. He's going to get confirmed. And it just Democrats look like losers today. They just look like losers. I'm sorry.
I think you're so right. We're speaking with Joe Concha right now, a Fox News contributor, does know Pete Hegseth on a personal level. And I think that that is something that has been so interesting. One of the questions that I was listening to it, I was streaming Fox News in my car on the way into work. And one of the questions from one of the senators, and I don't know which one it was like, let's just say you did rape somebody. Would that make it so that we shouldn't confirm you? And I'm like, it's just interesting to see how low these Democrats are having to stoop to try to make something out of this.
Yeah, it's like, do you beat your wife? No. Oh, yeah, prove it. It's like you can't disprove a negative. And it's just like the Justice Kavanaugh hearings, right?
Yeah.
Where we saw Kavanaugh being accused of something from a party his sophomore year in 5 years ago, and people saying that it was absolute fact, that it was gospel, right? Led by Kamala Harris, by the way, and Cory Booker at the time. That was 2018. But look at the way it ended. Kavanaugh was still obviously confirmed. He now sits on the Supreme Court. And I think the same thing's going to happen here with Pete, because the thing about these hearings, they've just become so predictable that, you know, there isn't like one Democrat. Like, why can't Fetterman be up there? Because I'm sure that he wouldn't be doing this game that Democrats are doing. And by the way, this all comes with the backdrop of a party that has largely defended the disastrous withdrawal in Afghanistan, right? Mm-hmm. They defend the endless funding of that stalemate over in Ukraine without any accounting of where those hundreds of billions have gone. China and Iran have only been emboldened under Democrat leadership over the last 4 years, especially Iran, which uses its proxies to attack our military station in the Middle East. So, yeah, Democrats talking tough on defense, it just rings so hollow because they've been such a weak party for years when it's come to this, quite frankly. And it just, again, they're over playing their hand here, Annie.
Yeah, I completely agree. Joe Concha with us right now. I was looking, we're watching Joe Biden give that, you know, air quotes, last foreign policy speech of his presidency yesterday. And we're watching it. We're like, gosh, is he going to make any news? Is it just going to be patting himself on the back? Which is really ironically what it ended up being. And I think a lot of Americans have voted, obviously, accordingly, don't agree with that sentiment. But he made some sort of comment towards the end of that where he talked about, he's like, hey, everybody just understand, the border got more secure when I became president. What do you make of the people? You've written books on Joe Biden, but what do you make of the party that supported the Joe Biden lie, that he was with it, that he was coherent throughout the course of this presidency? Are they going to be able to snap back from deceiving the Americans about who Joe Biden was and how capable he was? How long is that going to take?
Will. For I guess we'll see in the midterms in 2 years, maybe. But yeah, I mean, that cover up, and it wasn't much of a cover up because you could see it in broad daylight that when Joe Biden is shaking hands with the air and he's talking about conversations he's had with dead foreign leaders, like dead for like, you know, 10, 15, 20 years dead, when he couldn't remember the names of his own cabinet members, falling up the stairs at Air Force One, taking vacation after vacation. 40% of the time, this guy has been on vacation while he's been president. Because he needs the rest, because obviously physically and mentally he's gone. Yet we hear from Democrats that actually behind the scenes, he's this combination of Lamar Jackson meets Stephen Hawking, right? I mean, physically, mentally, this guy's doing quadratic equations and he's telling us how the flux capacitor works. And boy, you just can't keep up with him. So I think, yeah, the fact that they pushed this, and then Joe Biden this week saying that, well, if he stayed in the race, he thinks he would have won, which doesn't really explain why he dropped out, but he probably couldn't finish the 4 years. I mean, he actually said that out loud. It's like, oh, that makes total sense. So yeah, he's delusional. He wants his legacy to be something that it wasn't. And he's going to exit now as the most unpopular president since, let's see, Richard Nixon, who obviously resigned. So everybody else since then, people like, you know, Jimmy Carter or I don't know, pick one, Barack Obama, right? Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah, he's going to go out as, you know, one of the most failed presidencies we have ever seen, despite having a media that has tried to prop him up for all these years.
And to call your book out again, we're talking about the greatest comeback ever and Donald Trump's political victory that we're going to see culminate here in 6 days from now. It's astonishing to see what the American people were sold going into that 2020 election, this unifying president, the adults back in charge, how much you can break everything in 4 years to the extent where Donald Trump is the answer to the problem they thought they solved, fixing the Donald Trump problem in 2020 with Joe Biden. Do you feel like Donald Trump still has the full wind at his back going into this presidency that we're going to see here and starting in a week?
Annie, I think he's more powerful than ever. In a way, it's as crazy as it sounds, it's almost good that he lost in 2020, if you believe he lost, only because we never would have seen what the alternative was like. We'd have to imagine what a Biden presidency was like, or we'd have to imagine what a Hillary presidency would be like. And now that people experienced it, they're nostalgic for 2017, 2018, 2019 pre-COVID, because those were very good years. We had peace and we had prosperity. And when you have those two things as a president, you don't have to get into the details very much. You're going to be popular. So now you see Trump at like 57% approval for his transition, 55% approval overall, like 50s. He's never seen the 50s, you know, so that means that Democrats and independents, enough anyway, are coming over and saying, you know what, I may not like Trump personally, or I don't like the mean tweets or whatever, but boy, he knows how to get the job done. I feel like we have a leader again. And Donald Trump, quite frankly, since November 5th, has been more active than Joe Biden has been over the last four years as far as making deals without being in power. It's incredible to watch.
It is. It's exciting to watch. I want to get one last question out of you before we let you go. Joe Concha speaking with us right now. When you think forward, you just mentioned the midterms here. Seems crazy to just, we're barely shaking the dust off of the 2024 election, but we've got probably, 100 days, maybe 6 months max to get things done without the election of a midterm interfering how people might represent themselves in Congress. What is your worry for Republicans, or advice for Republicans in these first 6 months or so getting things done while Donald Trump is in charge? Are you concerned?
Because we saw, like, Thomas Massie, for example, with Mike Johnson saying that, oh, no, you could tear my fingernails out. You could chop off my fingers. Literally what the guy said, and completely showboating and saying he could never support Mike Johnson. And he ended up not supporting him. Now, I don't mind principles, right, if you want to take a stand. But you better have a plan and some pragmatism with it. And Massie never could name who he would replace Mike Johnson with and how that person would get the votes. If I heard a name and I heard a plan, I'd be like, okay, well, let's hear that out. So it's all a matter of Mike Johnson and really Donald Trump hurting all these cats that love to make a big show of things on social media or running to networks where they have more employees than actual viewers watching the conservative networks, not named Fox, so they could, you know, act like they're, you know, really operating off a moral compass to take a stand once and for all. No, get the things done that President Trump wants to get done. You're right. They have about 6 to 8 months to do that on the border, on taxes particularly. Get those things done, and then you could have your petty fights. But again, there's enough rebels in this caucus that could upset all that, because again, it's a three-vote margin. Three votes. Think about that.
Yeah.
And are there three troublemakers around? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, Donald Trump seems to have his hands firmly on the reins right now, and hopefully he's able to continue to lead, and I think he will be. Joe Concha, thank you for the time today. We love speaking with you, and I am very excited for our future conversations in 2025. They're gonna sound different. I'm looking forward to it.
Happy New Year.
Happy
Bye.
New Year. Talk to you again soon. Joe Concha, Fox News contributor. You can find him on X, and I encourage you to do so. He is very active on X, and he brings a lot of things into my site there at Joe Concha TV. His book will be coming out in April, The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign. And he told me a little story, not on the air, but personally. He was talking about getting the cover done for that. And it's Trump's comeback story, but he said the cover has to have the McDonald's drive-thru photo on it. And they're like, oh, I don't know. He's like, put it on the book. He's like, put it on the book or I'm not writing it. And I'm going to be excited to go through that story again, especially with Joe Concha's voice lent to it. That'll be coming out in April. All right, let's take a quick break. The Pete Hegseth confirmations continue on Capitol Hill. And Jim Carafano will be with us at 105 to react to what he has heard. And he is going to talk to us about his thoughts so far on how Pete Hegseth has taken these questions and responded with his answers. What's the grade that Jim Carafano will give Pete? We'll find out at 105. But next, we're going to dive into the world of Wiggins America, where it is always that policy of Wiggins first. I think that might be on the bumper stickers in Wiggins America. He's going to help tell us how to change our relationship with money in 2025. Ryan Wiggins next. Don't go away.